Okay, so I don't know if you guys remember, but we did this quite a while ago in Agarata. But the earlier half of this Gemara in Samach Dalet and Beis has the story of Chachma Yevanit, right, of the Greek wisdom. And there it had a discussion of Greek wisdom, which seems to be some sort of language or code that they spoke. It was cursed because you would communicate with the government, presumably against the Jews. And the Gemara there had discussed that indeed that was what happened, and the whole story with the Talmid, etc. But once the Gemara is talking about that, the Gemara starts bringing stories about people who were conversant in many languages, and that was seen as a positive. Specifically, Mordechai. A Mordechai. We'll see which Mordechai, but a Mordechai. Okay? And I want to talk about this Mordechai a little bit, share some ideas, and see where we go with this. So the Gemara I have for you on Samach Dalet and Beis starts as follows: Kimata Omer lo havei yadei mehechi aite. When it came time to bring the Omer once, they didn't know where it came from, where to bring it from. Mehechi aite Omer achrizu. So they made a proclamation, and he said, "I don't know what's going on. Where do you get the Omer from?" Atahu Chersha, so a certain deaf mute came, and Otiv or Otiv Chada Yada Aigra, the Chada Yada Atzrifa, and he put one hand on the roof or stretched it out towards the roof, and one towards a hut. And they're obviously all staring at this deaf mute in quizzically, what exactly are you trying to communicate to us? So Amar Lehu, Mordechai, so Mordechai says to them, Mi ika duchta dishma gagot srifin. Is there a place called gagot srifin, which technically is two words, roof and sounds sort of like srifin, right? Which is, right, Atzrifa is a hut, Otzrifin Gagot, or the other way around, Badku v'Ashkachu, they found that there was such a place. So who is this Mordechai? So which Mordechai is this? So this is a Machlokas. And if you look at Rashi, let me try to pull it up for you. So Rashi says, Mordechai, Shehaya bimei Achashverosh, the Mordechai, like the Mordechai that you people know. Tosvot says, Perish bekuntres, Dahave Mordechai shai bimei Achashverosh. Rashi says it's that Mordechai. V'temahu lomar sheherech yomim kolkach. He said, how old was this guy exactly? Right? Because Purim takes place towards the end or even past the end of Galut Bavel, which means that he's pretty darn old if he is a Chacham already functioning as a Chacham during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, right? Or maybe this is Bayit Sheni, but this is going much longer. Oh, sorry. No, other way around. If this is the time of the Romans, right? So then he's going, right, either way you take this, if it's from the time of Babel to from the time of Persia to the Romans, he's very, very old. Whatever it is. V'nirad al shem Mordechai harishon ha'yinikron. So Tosfot says, no. You know what it was? It was that anybody who had that sort of role in the Sanhedrin, they called them Mordechai. It's like scotch tape, you know? It's a clear adhesive tape. But because the scotch was the first one who made it, so it's all scotch tape. So Mordechai is a paradigm. So everyone is called Mordechai. But it's not really Mordechai. Okay. You get another story now. when they wanted to bring the Shtei Alechem, Lo Aviyadu Me'echi La'itu. They didn't know where to bring that either. Achrazus, they made a proclamation. Atahu Gavra Chersha. So again, a certain deaf mute comes, and Otiv Yada Ya'ine V'chada Yada Asichra. He put one hand towards his eye, and one on the door latch. Amr lu Mordechai. Mordechai said, "Umi ika duchta dishma'in socher, oh socher ayin." But kuvashkechu, he figured out what it was, and they checked and they found it. Hanu shalosh nashim. There's another story. Da'aiti shalosh kinin. Chada amra lizivati. Chada amra liyamati. V'chada amra le'onati. One said, this is my karban for my ziva. The other said, for my mama. And the other one, for my ona. So the chachamim who were there, zavar mina, zivati zava mamash, limti limti mamash, le'onati le'onata dekulhu, chada chada v'chada ola. So the chachamim thought that one was a ziva, the other one, Yama, was maybe also a ziva from the word yam, like she was flowing like a sea or something like that. And one was from Maona, so they thought that it was also the end of Zava. Amar lo Mordechai. Mordechai said, yeah. Come on. You don't understand what's going on. Shema bizov sikna, shema biyam sikna, shema be'enei sikna, de kula olot ninu. Badok v'ashkachan. He said, No. The first woman was endangered. She was endangered during her menstrual flow, through her zav. The second one was endangered at the sea, yama. And the third one had some sort of danger in her eye. These are all karbano to thank God for saving them. This has nothing to do with the chatas. It's not a karban ziva. It's not a karban anything. You misunderstood it. And they checked, and it was right. And again, the Gemara says, "Vahainu ditnan ptachya al hakiner ze Mordechai." Who is ptachya al hakinin? It's Mordechai. And lama nikra shmo ptachya? Why was he called ptachya? Potech dvarim udarshan v'yodeya b'shivim lashon. Because he understood 70 languages. He would open up things. He would interpret them. And the Gemara says, big deal. So he knew 70 languages. Kulu Sanhedrin nami yade shivim lashon. Everybody knew 70 languages. Da Amar Rabbi Yochanan in Moshivim b'Sanhedrin ela bali chachma bali mara bali koma bali zikna bali kshafim yodim shivim lashon. No one gets to be on the Sanhedrin unless they're smart and good looking and tall and elderly, and they know how to perform magic, and they know 70 languages. Shalote Sanhedrin shomad mi piya maturgaman, because you're not allowed to hear testimony from translators. So the Gemara says, El Debahavi Bayalishne Vidarish. He was good because he could mix up languages. Dichtiv Bimordechai Bilshan. Because it says in Nehemiah Bilshan, which the Gemara identifies with Mordechai. So I want to make a few points about this Agarata. The first is, I don't know if we've done any of these Agarata this year, but you have to do it once a year. And this is, there is a rule of Agarata that you need to know. And that is what is called by, I've heard it from Chaim Angel, I saw it by Yael Ziegler. It's a very nice phrase, keep it in mind. There is a midrashic tendency for what we would call the conservation of biblical personalities, right? Which means that Chazal do their best when we don't know much about a personality to equate them with a personality that we do know a lot about, to limit the number of personalities that exist in Tanakh about which they are basically, you know, unknowns. And there, I don't, you know, there's a tremendous amount to say on this, but I'll make one basic point. Why do you think we have in Midrashic literature a conservation of biblical personalities? Right, what's the logic for such a thing? Guys, what do you think?
Maybe
Yeah, I think that's basically what it is, right? Is that I think Chazal have the Midrashic interpretation is that the Torah isn't coming to confuse you. It's coming to teach you something. And therefore, it wouldn't make sense for it to methodologically be completely unclear. And therefore, we have to err on the side of assuming that there is, in fact, information about these people. And I think that's the basic methodological point that Chazal are going on in these midrashim, right? That if there's someone we don't know about, so why are you telling me about him? You're just confusing me. You're just complicating the story. Must be we do know something about them. And then there's the second point, which is that Chazal are very much into midrashei Hashem, right? They very much like midrash Hashem. Now there are certain midrashei Hashem in pshat, meaning cases in which the Torah itself gives you a drasha on a name. Give me an example. What'd you say? The Shvatim, very good. Yitzchak, Avraham, right? Avram, you used to be, right? Av hamon goyim netaticha. Moshe, min hamayim mishitihu. Right? Sometimes the Torah itself engages in midrashei Hashem, right? Explaining why a name is not just a name. So the same thing is true in Chazal. Right, they look for these, and therefore, once you believe that names can be symbolic, and you want the Torah to clarify things rather than make them less clear, so it makes sense, right? There's a logic to it. So that's point one. It's just a methodological point that I think is worth making. I was reading an article on this. I got it. But I don't even know who wrote it. It was put out by the Beit Medrash Lahora. I think it was. Let me look for a second. One sec. Yeah, from the on this I got it from the. It was din.org.il, but who in general are very good. I think this is affiliated with Russia Weiss's Beit Din in general. I think. I'm not 100% sure. But it's the Beit Hora'a Merkazi LeDayanut, where they were building on this. And I think there are certain points that were very critical there. So they. Well, what strikes you about this Agadata? There are, if you look here, there's one point that they make in this article that's very strong that I think is worth picking up on. And that is that the Gemara ends with the claim that what's unique about this Mordechai or every Mordechai, whether you hold like Rashi or like Tosfot, is this ability. Sorry. What's not unique about him is knowing Shivim Lashon, right? Is interpreting language. But what is unique about this Mordechai figure in this Gemara? So one is mastery, right? That's what the Gemara ends with, right? The Gemara says everybody knows 70 languages, but he knows how to mix up languages. But it's interesting because if you read the Agadita, that's not actually his expertise. What's his expertise? Very good. Exactly. Right? The Gemara is playing with these two ideas of understanding language. Right? Meaning the stated goal at the end of the Gemara is to tell you that all of Sanhedrin knows 70 languages, and the really good expert, like Mordechai, whichever Mordechai we're talking about, but by the end it's probably the real Mordechai, is that he knows multiple languages and he can make multi-language puns or something, or mix Hebrew and Yiddish and English or Mashiach. But the clear focus of the Gemara is that what? It's not just language, he understands people. Right? Meaning It's not just he understands language. Even when he doesn't understand the language, he doesn't know exactly what the deaf person is saying, because he doesn't know what he's saying. He realizes the type of communication he's doing, meaning it's not a language, right? The deaf person pointing to a roof and pointing to this and pointing to that, pointing to a hut, that's not a language, but he relates to people. He gets them, right? There's something here where the stated goal of the Gemara is to tell you that the Sanhedrin has to know 70 languages, and Mordechai knew even really had a mastery of the language. But the Agada tells you that this Mordechai in question doesn't just have a mastery of language, he has a mastery of people, right? He understands people, he understands intonations, he understands what people are getting at. So I think that that's already, first of all, simply on the level of Sanhedrin, you might say that that's what the Gemara is getting at, that the best Dayanim are the ones who don't just understand language. They need to understand language to understand people, but the best Dayanim really do understand people, and they can get behind what the person is really getting at. And the Gemara doesn't tell you that as a halacha; it illustrates that you. That for you by the story. Now, I will note that the halacha, if you look at Tosfot later on, Tosfot says that it's not really clear that he actually has to know 70 languages. The Tosfot says in Sanhedrin, it sounds like maybe he needs to know two languages, or there might be a difference between dine mamonot to dine nefashot or something like that. So the halachic point is interesting, but I don't want to get too much into that. Now, Tosvos in Bava Kamma notes that even if not all these phrases are or Mordechai or the Mordechai, the by the final story, which it re explicitly connects it to Mordechai, it sounds like even Tosvos would agree that it is the real Mordechai. Okay, so that's but I agree with this article that the point, the unspoken point of this Agadata is to teach you that the greatness of Mordechai is not just that he spoke many languages or mastered the language, was that he understood people, right? He understood what they really were getting at. And you see that in the stories, right? That he understood what the women wanted. You understand what the blind person really wanted. Even though everybody understood the words, he could get behind it and really understand what it is. But then they add a nice twist to this, which is maybe this works thematically with Purim. Because if, especially the end of the story, is clearly the real Mordechai. If you remember, what is the, if nothing else, what is the theme of Purim? What's the theme of Purim? You don't have to talk, you can chat it. Someone asked me whether it's weird to give shiur on Zoom. I said, yeah, sometimes it just feels like lonely. But what's the theme of Purim? The theme of Purim is revealing the secrets, right? God is hidden. God is behind the scenes. And the challenge of the of Purim, of the Megillah, is being able to see God when it's not clear. And therefore, it could be that the reason Mordechai, the hero or one of the heroes of the Purim story, is somebody who has that power to really get behind things and hear what people are saying and realize that what they mean is not what it sounds like what they mean. That koach thematically fits with Pesach and with Purim rather. And they note that the Gemara in Chulin says, Esther min haTorah minayin, shene'emar v'anochi haster astir. Where does Esther in the Torah? When God says, I'll hide myself. And the Gra writes that that's the point, that the key to Megillat Esther and to Purim is that God will be hidden, but the goal of Esther is to show you that even though God is hidden, it is God behind the scenes, right? To understand sort of God speaking through the language of hidden miracles. And they argue that, again, that's thematically what is going on here. That the fact that Mordechai is able to say, oh, that deaf person isn't just pointing at a roof, but he's telling you where to go. And these women, you think they're talking about Zava, but they're talking about something completely different. That Koach is what it was necessary to have Purim be successful. To have it successful, that someone should, that type of personality is the right leader to have. When God is hidden, you need someone to be able to look and say, this is God speaking to us through a different language. And they note from the Sefer Kav HaYashar, I don't even know what that is, that the Su'uda, Chazal described that what was the sin of the Jews in Shushan was that they ate from the Su'uda of Achashverosh. And he, when the Pasuk says Mordechai Yada, what it says is, look, they were like drawn in by the grandeur, the superficial grandeur of Achashverosh. And you needed a Mordechai to tear his clothes and sort of, again, they're speaking a little bit derech mashal, but I think there's a lot to be said for it. You needed someone to rip off those outer layers to get to the deeper thing to help the Jews see the tochen, to see deeper into it, because that is exactly what Purim was about. And, you know, it's worth noting that they don't make this point that Dafka, the salvation of the Jews in the Megillah comes about because of Mordechai's ability to master language. Right? The way that he saves the king is because he understands the language of Bigthan and Teresh when they think that he doesn't understand it. So it's not just that Mordechai happens to be the hero of the Purim story, but it's specifically this skill, this mastery of human communication that is what allows him to save the king and set the cogs in motion for the Jews to be saved. And then they go off. Here I'm not as sold, but I'll finish their analysis here. They note in the Misilat Yesharim that in general, there are two types of mistakes that people make in this world. One is that they don't even understand that Michshol, right, they don't even see the traps, the spiritual traps they can fall into. And sometimes that they mix up, you know, X for Y and Y for X. They think that good is bad, bad is good. They think meaningless is meaningful and meaningful is meaningless. That, you know, in the end of the day, a lot of times people's mistakes that they make are these, are not even understanding the dangers they might face and being confused and being able to interpret that which other people don't understand and to reveal it, so to speak, is the koach that they're giving to Mordechai. So that's what they also suggest is part of what's going on here, is that Mordechai has to be the person who understands people and helps them understand themselves and helps them get past the superficiality, the mistakes, the lack of understanding, and the like. Now, here I think it's already getting quite drashy, but I'm sharing their idea with you to sort of fill out the idea. But fundamentally, I think their point is correct, that the key that the Gemara here seems to see in the Koach of Mordechai. Ooh, what happened? Now, there are other interpretations that are offered. Again, I think their general idea is quite powerful, which is to say, one, again, the points from the article that I really do agree with is, one, is that the point of Sagarata is to, by, on its face, telling you that the issue is understanding language, but from context, telling you that there's more to understanding language than just having mastered, the words, the vocabulary, the syntax, but to also be able to understand people, right? That's part of understanding. That implicitly being critical to Sanhedrin and being critical to a leader, I think that's clearly part of the Agadata. That second point of saying that if this is really Mordechai, the fact that the ability to understand and get past what's on the surface and get at the deeper one, being connected thematically to Purim and the Megillah, which is all about being able to see God speaking to you in a hidden way, I think that's also right. And the third point, as I said, which I also think they didn't say, but I think is very powerful, is to note that it's that ability to understand people, to understand language, that saves the Jewish people in the time of the Megillah, because Mordechai is the one that understands Bigtan and Teresh when they don't realize. They think he doesn't understand them, and therefore they feel free to talk in front of him, and that's what, again, sets everything in motion. And I do think that that is all somewhat here in the background of the Agadata. Now, I will note that there are that's I think one level. Obviously, if you have certain tendencies that I don't have in interpretation, you would see this differently. So, for example, the Chesed LaAvraham takes a bit more of a mystical approach, and mystically, whenever you see someone who has a power over language. If you're thinking more spiritually or you're thinking more mystically, so what would you associate someone who has power over language with? Not the way I'm doing it, just understanding people, but what is a mastery over language and Kabbalistic thought associated with? Okay, blank. I might expect that at Migdal. Yeah. What? So maybe Torah, but even more than Torah, I think in certain, definitely in Hasidic sources and some Kabbalistic sources, it's going to be Torah is one. Even more than Torah is tefillah, right? That mastery of language is, someone who really masters speech, the koach hadibur in more mystical midrashic, definitely Hasidic thinking is tefillah, and therefore, if you already have that tendency, you're going to jump and say, "Oh, Mordechai is a master of language." Maybe this Gemara in part isn't just about understanding language and even understanding people, it's about tefillah. And this is the direction the Chesed Avram takes, which again is a different intuition about how Agadata should work, where language isn't just about language, where language and language between human beings and between God are mixed up in terms of the thought process. So I'll just read you this small piece from the Chesed Avram, where he writes that al pi ha-Zohar HaKadosh l'ruach tzofon yish muna echad v'otem muna p'tachya shimo. He proves this from the fact that the Gemara here calls Mordechai p'tachya, and in the Zohar, p'tachya is in charge of the northern direction, the northern winds. The kolam mitpalalin al oyveihem hamatzikin lahem imatfila karoi, and anyone who davens properly. That their enemies should be defeated, as mit orer oto haruach v'notlin hatfila v'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu yipol sonecha lefanecha. If people daven correctly, so this Tsar, which is in charge of the north, God instructs him to basically defeat the enemies. V'zeu p'tachya ze Mordechai. And therefore, in the mystical thinking, this p'tachya isn't just p'tachya in this world. It's he has some sort of force of koach hatfila of defeating enemies. That Mordechai's koach was to connect that malach, I don't know, koach, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, to defeat enemies. Again, this is not my type of thinking. I don't quite understand it, but I think it's worth understanding that in mystical thinking, in Hasidic thinking, for sure, Dibur, like I already made one jump, right? I noted that the simple pshat of the Agadata gets you from language to understanding people, or interpretation of language to communication, meaning really understanding people. In Kabbalah, once you're talking about Dibur, there's always going to be that next level. It must have something to do with tefillah. And that's just a different way of seeing this. The Shmuot Mahartsa is quoted also in the Masifta as saying, as Yosef said, that maybe the Koach Hadibur here isn't just showing you that he's good at communication or even tefillah. Maybe this is around about Torah. So he quotes from Rav Arya Leibish, the Av Beit Din of Lonsait, who I have no idea who that is. But what he says is, yeah, if he had a Koach Hadibur, he was an excellent a communication that must translate into him being an excellent communicator in Torah. And he says, right, a good darshan starts in one place and he can get to where he wants to get no matter what. But Mordechai didn't need to, like, you know, just do these vortlach. Meaning he was so good at communicating Torah and communicating the ideas of Torah, he didn't have to, you know, he wanted to make a point, he didn't have to get it in through the back door, you know, start in one place and end somewhere else. He was such a master orator and teacher, you know, he was always to the point, exactly what he wanted to say, exactly what he needed to communicate. That's what he got. And again, this is a certain orientation towards Agadata, that if somebody is good in a skill and we know that there's another skill that is, you know, vaguely related with it or associated with it, so we must say that he must have been good at both. Again, that's a particular way of thinking about Agadata, not necessarily one I share, but I understand where it's coming from, and it's worth noting how it comes from. I'll note yet one more. And again, you know, as I said in the past, I have certain ways of reading Agadata, but sometimes I'll just show you the way other people read Agadatas, which are totally not in the ballpark of how I think about things. But it's worth noting these things exist to know methodologically the way other people think about it. We noted that another way of talking about Agadata, which we didn't, is codes, right? Is that maybe Chazal are talking in codes. And, you know, a lot of these, like, gematrias and Rashi Tevot and hints. And again, this is not the type of thing. I look at more literary things and theological issues and philosophical issues and things like that. But I can't deny that there are totally different traditions of Agadata that go in the direction of looking for codes to really understand what's going on. So here they quote the O of Yisrael, who goes in that direction. Again, I'm just going to share it to show you methodologically how a totally different school of thought would approach the same Agadata. And he writes that Matzati Katu v'sever echad Ptachia ze Mordechai. How do they know Ptachia is Mordechai? V'siman v'yare shitcha mitzar v'achitecha yizga me'od, according Iov. U'perish al pi pshuto. He said, how do you get there? Ki shalosh otiot rishonim shel Mordechai olim chatzi mispar me'ashalosh otiot rishonim shel Ptachia. Because the first three letters of Mordechai are half the gematria of the word Ptachya. Aval shnei otiot achronot shel Mordechai olim lemispar kefel mishnei otiot achronot shel Ptachya. And the last two letters of Mordechai are double the gematria of the last two letters of Ptachya. V'zel v'hayar miretcha mitzar v'achritcha yizgam ma'od. And that's how you get it, that the beginning is small and the end is big. That's what the Pasuk in Iyov means. Again, I would not have seen that in a million years, that the way they figured out that Mordechai was Ptachia was because, you know, there is this inverse gematria relationship between the first three letters and the last two letters. I would not have seen that in a million years. But again, that's another world of Agadata that is worth knowing about. It's another way of understanding Pesukim and Midrash and Agadata that I'm not really part of. But again, it's a different methodology that you should be aware of. Okay, so it's a bit of a shorter I got it this year. You know what, let's I'll take like 2 minutes.